Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
So speaking of the U.S. efforts on relief in the Philippines, Defense Secretary Chuck Hagel has ordered the U.S. Pacific Command into action. Pentagon Press Secretary George Little says more than 250 U.S. service members are now on the ground, and the USS George Washington is now making its way to the islands. Here's Pentagon Press Secretary George Little.
Embarked on the George Washington is Carrier Air Wing 5, with more than 80 aircraft, including 11 helicopters. The George Washington can produce more than 400,000 gallons of fresh water per day.
400,000 gallons of fresh water per day, but is it enough? Dr. Ron Ratcliffe is a retired Navy captain with experience with disaster relief in the Philippines. He's now Associate Professor of National Security Affairs at the U.S. Naval War College. Dr. Ratcliffe, welcome to the program.
Hello, good to be aboard.
So let's talk specifically about what infrastructure might be in place, pre-positioned, given the U.S. military relationship with the Philippines.
There is infrastructure there. It's not like we're starting from scratch. I've seen the photos of Tacloban Airport. It appears to be a place that we could certainly get helicopters in. I've seen C-130s in there. But it's a bigger question, and I'm certain that that's what the task force commander and the rest of the relief effort is looking for, those places where we can find a loghead, where we can start to move in the amount of supplies, the water that you were just talking about, the facilities that will need to be put in place to be able to push out into the affected communities. But we've learned from our own experiences here in the United States, Katrina, the disaster around Sandy Hook. Even though the most developed countries have good infrastructure, it may not be enough, at least at the outset, to push the sort of things that are needed desperately for those folks to just pick up the rudiments of life.
Well, but Ron Ratcliffe, you are not involved directly in the relief effort right now, but you have long experience with the military relationship. Subic Bay, Clark Air Force Base in the Philippines, at one time supplied an enormous sort of infrastructure boost to the Philippines. Describe what that was like and what may have eroded in the sense that, those bases aren't what they once were.
Well, you're absolutely correct, is that those bases in their day were some of the most impressive military facilities in the world. I first visited there on a destroyer in 1973. On an older destroyer, we really depended greatly on the ship repair facility at Subic, which was an amazing facility that employed somewhere in the neighborhood of 30,000 Filipinos. The repair facility, the dock facilities, the airport that were there at QB Point in the Subic Bay area were amazing facilities. And I'm certain that they've atrophied since the days of Mount Pinatubo when I was last there with my own command, a guided missile frigate. We were expecting to go in for a brief visit to do some repair facility work. And what we ended up doing was evacuating Americans from both Subic and Clark Air Force Base. And the facilities there greatly damaged, and that precipitated a lot of the withdrawal of the United States from the Philippines. The Filipinos have attempted to restore those facilities, and by all indications, they still have the infrastructure, although it's degraded, that would need to be upgraded.
We're talking with Dr. Ron Ratcliffe, who's a retired Navy captain. He's now Associate Professor of National Security Affairs at the U.S. Naval War College. He was referring to the 1991 disaster, the Pinatubo eruption, that precipitated some of the damage to the military infrastructure in the Philippines. Just how vulnerable is the Philippines to disasters? So we've got the typhoon now. There was an earthquake just barely a month ago. And you're describing a volcanic eruption that did so much damage.
Well, one of the problems with the Philippines is it sits on the volcanic ridge. And as a result of that, it has been subjected and will probably in the future be subjected to volcanic activity. And then just the nature of typhoons that blow in out of the Pacific, she's always in the path of those, not unlike our own southeast United States. What really should be focused on there is the resilience of the Filipino people. They are some of the most amazing people in the world. Industrious, talented, and resilient. They have suffered many disasters, and they continue to find their way back, And I think that's why they look to the United States, because of a relationship, a long-standing and special relationship, that we take very seriously their plight, and hence the quick response by the U.S. Navy and other military forces to help them restore their lives and to continue the process of rebuilding after natural disaster.
So you're feeling a sense of responsibility based on that special relationship between the U.S. and the Philippines?
I think it's one that's been longstanding. We've had a relationship with the Philippines since the Spanish-American War. We fought a long insurrection there, but we also, after World War II, quickly set them on the path to independence. We established a mutual defense treaty with them to ensure that their state security would be secured at a time in the Cold War where that was an open question. And it's one where we have a huge Filipino population in the United States, and as evidenced by all the efforts here to send aid that direction. So, yeah, in a longstanding special relationship, that's in the sense that I say that.
Our thanks to Dr. Ron Ratcliffe, retired Navy captain with experience of disaster relief in the Philippines, associate professor now of national security affairs at the U.S. Naval War College. Let's give you some sense now of the details emerging in Tacloban, the city hardest hit by the typhoon. City officials continuing to urge residents to leave to ease the burden on supplying food and water to the population unable to move right now. The first attempt there at a mass burial has failed. A police convoy of trucks carrying more than 200 bodies on its way to a mass funeral faced gunfire and had to turn back. Tacloban's mayor, Alfred Romualdez, has described an extreme shortage of vehicles and heavy equipment and personnel for extracting bodies and dealing with the deteriorating salvage situation and growing disease threat. Some of the sense of crisis still in the very early days in the Philippines.